In terms of the Four Noble Truths, true sufferings, the first truth, true sufferings, are the effects in the afflicted class of phenomena, and their causes are the second truth, true origins. And then in the pure class of phenomena, the true cessations, the third truth, are the effect in the pure class, and true paths are the causes of them. When it is explained that due to the condition of ignorance, action is produced, one is explaining the afflicted class, in terms of the afflicted procedure. And when it is explained that due to the cessation of ignorance, action ceases and so forth, it is explained in terms of the pure class. So the first is the procedure of the production of suffering, and the second is the procedure of the cessation of suffering. Now both of these are explained, one in a forward process and then in a backward process. So then when it is explained that due to the condition of ignorance, action arises, due to action, consciousness arises, due to consciousness, name and form arises, due to the condition of name and form, the six sources arise, due to those, and down through to aging and death. That is the explanation in terms of the causes that are the sources of suffering. Then when it is explained in the backwards way, like going upwards, that the suffering of aging and death that we all know about is produced, it said it's produced in dependence upon birth. Birth is produced in dependence upon this potentialized level of action called existence, etc., on up. Then the emphasis here, the emphasis here is on true sufferings themselves, which are the effects of those causes previously.
Yes.
And then in when it is explained that if one ceases ignorance, then action ceases, and if action is ceased, then consciousness ceases on down through the 12, then this explanation is in terms of the is in terms of the purified class of phenomena, with the emphasis being on the causes, that is to say, true paths from among the Four Noble Truths.
当然，六道不同的，个性格吧，嗯，交往格吧，交往格吧了，等于说，交往格吧的，啊，四个格吧是多些的，多年的，个人的，都，这不呢，也是一样的，搞定的。
Then, when it is explained backwards or upwards in terms of the cessation of aging and death depending upon the cessation of birth, the cessation of birth depending upon the cessation of the actualized, almost potentialized level, which is called existence, that the cessation of that depends upon the cessation of grasping, then the emphasis here is on the effect. And in terms of the Four Noble Truths, true cessations.
That's it, no?
This is called the Wheel of Cyclic Existence, which has five parts. In what you have in your hands, there are five parts in it, and in which the gods and demigods have been included in one part.
If translated not translated well, then this is the thing.
So these changa.
Changa ba.
In a changa, what's it?
Is that? Are the changa to survive? That's what I can do. Are that the two heads?
Let it. In a changa, what's it? Changa. The identification of
changa. Or changa de. Hadan semini jigdom. So,
now, in the five, and what you have in the hand,
this is correct.
God, the level of gods and demigods, are included as one part.
That day, two.
In this tanka, there are six.
Then
one part is of humans, and then the other three parts are of the three bad or low transmigrations within cyclic existence. Now, these represent the levels of suffering, and due to what conditions do they arise? And it's indicated by the next inner circle that these levels of suffering are produced by karma, by actions. And it's in two halves, the half on the, as we look at it on the left, being virtuous actions, these being of two types, meritorious and unfluctuating, and then on the right side, non-virtuous actions, leading down to the lower realms. And as this one has, the base on the right side is white and the base on the left side is black. And the one on the right, the persons are facing upward, moving upward, and the one on the, did I say it right? The one on the left, they're facing upward, and the one on the right, they're facing downward. And then these sources of suffering, which is the source of suffering, which is karma, what does it arise from? It arises from that source which are the afflictions of desire, hatred, and ignorance. Sorry, indicated by the innermost circle. And the pig indicates ignorance, the snake indicates hatred, and the bird, or maybe rooster? Is it a rooster? Rooster indicates desire. So this one that indicates ignorance is supposed to be real stupid, but its meat is very tasty, right?
And
in a more correct version of the painting, the rooster or the bird and the rooster, I guess, rooster and snake would be coming out of the mouth of the pig. And the two of them would have their mouth on the tail of the pig. This indicates that desire and hatred have ignorance as their root, but the fact that they in turn are held onto the tail of the pig indicates that each of them acts to assist and further the other. Then, thus the indication, the symbolization is that the three afflictive emotions of desire, hatred, and ignorance give rise to good, virtuous, and non-virtuous actions, and these give rise to the various levels of suffering in cyclic existence. Then what is the order, the cause and effect order of the arisal of such suffering? This is indicated by the outer rim. The outer rim symbolizing the 12 branches of dependent arising. And this fierce type of being on the outside that doesn't indicate some kind of creator deity, rather it indicates impermanence. Thus, the being is a wrathful type of spirit, and thus, in this tanka, I really think it's wrong to have the, well, there's no need to have these ornaments and so forth. The essence, though, is that it symbolizes impermanence. And once when I had it drawn, I had it drawn in a skeleton on the outside. Skeleton-like. Because it clearly symbolizes impermanence. Here, the moon, which in the one you have in your hand is on the far side, the left side is top left side, is indicates liberation. And the Buddha, on what is our right, well, on the right side, is pointing to liberation, indicating that one should generate the paths that lead to liberation. The history of this drawing is that an outlying king made a present to the king of Magadha of a jewel, and the king of Magadha felt he didn't have something of equivalent worth to give back to that other king, so he asked Buddha what he should give, and Buddha indicated that he should give this kind of drawing of the 12 branches of dependent arising with these five parts symbolizing suffering. And there's this story that the outlying king, when he received the picture and studied it, attained realization from it. Now, with respect to the 12, now, with respect to the 12 branches, these are symbolized by the 12 pictures around the outside. The first of them at the top being an old person, blind, and using a stick. That indicates ignorance. Using a cane.
This one. That's any. Ta the Maribu Telaya, the Nelu Mountain in Maribu Chick. Tariana Juning Nanga, Tommy Maribu Tini, Nelu Mountain in Maribu Shame.
Now, with respect to the ignorance, that is the first branch of the 12 members of dependent arising, it is an ignorance that is an obscuration with respect to the actual mode of being of phenomena. Now, first of all, within the Buddhist philosophical schools, there are the four main schools of tenets, and then within those schools, there are many different divisions, thus there come to be many interpretations of what ignorance is. I not only don't have time to explain all of these, but I don't remember all of them either.
That?
In general, with respect to ignorance, obscuration, there is indeed a factor which is a mere non-knowing of how things actually exist, a factor of mere obscuration. However, here in the 12 members of dependent arising, it is explained as a wrong consciousness that conceives the opposite of how things actually do exist. In Sutra, 19 different types of ignorance are described. These are the various types of wrong views related with related with a beginning or related with an end and so forth. Extremes. In any case, with respect to the afflictive emotions that we are seeking to get rid of, there are two types, innate and artificial. The artificial afflictions are ones that have systems of tenets, philosophical ideas, teachings behind them, where the mind newly imputes or makes them up through conceptuality. Thus, these are not ones that all sentient beings have, and these cannot be the ones that are at the root of the ruination of sentient beings. As Nagarjuna says in his 70 stanzas on emptiness, that consciousness which conceives those things that are produced in dependence upon causes and conditions to ultimately exist, to truly exist, was said by the teacher Buddha to be ignorance. From it, the 12 branches of dependent arising arise. Thus, this is a consciousness that misapprehends or misconceives phenomena to exist under their own power, not to be dependent. And from the point of view of the of different types of objects of this consciousness, there come to be a conception of the inherent existence of phenomena and a conception of the inherent existence of persons, called a conception of a self of phenomena and conception of a self of persons. With respect to the conception of the inherent existence of persons, or the conception of a self of persons, there are two types. One is the one is to take cognizance of some other person and to consider that person to be inherently existent. And the second one is to take cognizance of one's own person, one's own I, and consider oneself to be inherently existent. The latter is called the false view of the transitory collection.
What
Nagarjuna was, indicating was that the conception of one's own self as inherently existent arises, this being the false view of the transitory collection, arises in dependence upon the conception of those bases which are the basis of designation of one's own person, the conception of those phenomena, mind, body, and so forth, as inherently existent. Thus, both of them are conceptions of inherent existence, but the conception of the phenomena of mind, body, and so forth as inherently existent acts as a cause of the conception of the person that is designated in dependence upon that mind and body as inherently existent. Then, with regard to a conception of a self of persons, there's another type, which is the conception that the person is self-sufficient, or the person is substantially existent in the sense of being self-sufficient. So now, if we reflect on it, if we consider our own desire and hatred, we'll see that they're generated with a conception of oneself as very solid as its basis. And due to the conception of oneself as so solid, one comes to have a sense of one's own faction and others' faction, in dependence upon which desire and hatred occur. This is the way it happens, isn't it? Now, there is indeed a conventionally posited I, a self, a person that is the doer of actions, that is the accumulator of karma, that is the person undergoing suffering and so forth. However, when you consider the I, when it gets to the level of a troublemaker, when it gets to the level of making trouble, then that strong, solid type of I, there is a sense of a self. There is a sense of a self-instituting I, and this I is an exaggeration beyond what actually exists. Thus, there is a consciousness that conceives of this sort of self-instituting I.
separate entity
And isn't it so that when this I appears to the mind, it doesn't appear as if it is designated in dependence upon the aggregates of mind and body? Isn't it that it appears to have its own separate entity? Almost as if it has its own separate entity. If it did exist the way it appears, then when one investigated it with the middle way reasoning, the Madhyamaka reasoning, then it should get clearer and clearer and clearer. However, the fact is that when you search for this I using the middle way or Madhyamaka reasoning, it cannot be found. When one searches for it, it can't be found. However, it appears to our minds as if it is something that is concretely point outable, very concrete. Thus, this conflict between the fact that it appears as if it is very concrete, but when it is analyzed, it can't be found, indicates that there's a conflict between how it appears and how it actually subsists.
What appears, what is,
This is similar to how physicists, for instance, describe a difference between make a distinction between what appears and what actually exists.
Any Benangan Sabu Benchalach Chalachi Songanalia, Manu Kunle, Manu Kunlia, Chala Telemini, Chapatiluchi.
Even within desire, in our own experience, we can identify different types of or levels of desire. For instance, if you go into a store and just see some article and you have desire for it, there's that type of desire. But then if you buy it, then after you buy it and you feel it's mine, this is my whatever, this is my article, then there's a different type of desire. Thus, we can discriminate between distinguish between three different levels of appearance and apprehension here. In the first level, the object is merely appearing. This is before you've generated desire. There's the mere appearance of the object, mere recognition of the object. Then in the second level, when you're feeling, oh, this is really good, then there's that level of apprehension of the object. And then on the third level, after you've bought it and you've made it your own, then there's a third level.
So, Tagia, Parbatigulta, Ranibatigulia, you tell me, you take Tandisha, on Tandi. But a tongue, you did us tell you, you did Nundu Nine,
nangsamne tinrudu nangiyarwa nangjoliya tinrudu nangiyare ise ini tinegoliya ti temperature raise sambe ti zimbatti gi kaso kaso tan zibashu shu shu sobeda kana ini ji zimbashu shu shu ji mebe kudu tela ta ta nangsam ta tinish du samashma do kemebche ta ta dine ti yagu du sambe chakwaje indusane delaya temperature sambe denzin de tani chakwaje indwa denzin deja chamu ji shebe ini denzin de chungdenli yare Dasar rakwa di sini, dasar rakwa yang dulu itu sana, tenzing, kita cundeng juga mari, tenzing kita tanya orang dia.
Now on the first level, when the object merely appears, the object does appear to exist from its own side, to exist inherently. However, the mind is not strongly involved with apprehending the object as existing from its own side, or as existing inherently. But on the second level, this ignorance, which conceives of the object, which apprehends the object as existing from its own side, this being the level at, that in which one generates the desire desire toward the object, one does at this level, one does have the conception of inherent existence of the object and adherence to it as existing from its own side. On that level, there's a subtle level of desire that can exist at the same time as this consciousness conceiving the object to inherently exist. But when that desire becomes stronger, then the conception of inherent existence merely acts as its cause, and at that time is not in association or existing at the same time as that desire.
Kasore ngau nyamba, tal kasore ngau nyamba, lo shushimbu kedinge ngadi ke dagir suyundu, yu ti yidu onwa la, kasore yidu onwa, ta tembe yidu onwa, nangwa tatu shembe shembe chigi thala, long chiba ta renshinji yaban zindinge, ta kwe ta chwa chini nyamdo liya, ta kasore, ruru chene yundu, eni, shibu chigi, ta chapa chapa chibu liya mdo. Yang yasa. Shembe chibu chimarwe, ta ki thangu te, yu kwara liya mingi, adi yagudu sambaji chayin guwa, chayin guwa la.
Now, in terms of our own experience, it's important to identify that on the first level, there is the appearance of the object as inherently existent. On the second level, there is this consciousness that agrees with that appearance, that conceives or apprehends the object as inherently existent, this giving rise to desire. Then on the third level, when you've made the object into your own, it becomes involved with this, with the conception of ownership, and it's as if two very powerful streams now of desire have come together. Is that it?
Desire, sorry, kanda. Because you eat on, you eat, kaso da. You tembe eat on, shen tengegi.
So one is the adherence to the object as being inherently pleasant. That's on the second level. And then on the third level, one is conceiving it. One has a strong conception of it as being one's own. When these two come together, one's desire is extremely strong. Is this the way it is? If you think about it, is this the way it is? It's the same for hatred also.
For instance, yan tele shusho lulwa.
With regard to hatred, for instance, there would be a first level which would be conventionally true, for instance, with just seeing some object and identifying that such and such is bad. But then when it gets to the level of thinking, oh, this is really bad, to the level at which it, there's a level at which it produces hatred, then that the one is that level, that's the second level. Then on the third level, if it's related with oneself, like perhaps bringing harm to oneself, then they can develop extremely strong hatred. There are these two levels of hatred. So thus for both desire and hatred, the conception, the ignorance which is the conception of inherent existence acts as an assister. So that which makes all the trouble then is this pig. And the year that symbolizes my birth in the Tibetan calendar is the pig year. So this is the way that obscuration, ignorance, serves as the root of the other afflictive emotions. So this ignorant consciousness is one that is obscured with respect to the mode of being of phenomena. Thus, to symbolize that, the person is blind. The picture that symbolizes it. Ignorance has no valid cognition as its foundation. It's weak.